Okay, welcome back to our Shir on Shmuel Aleph. So we haven't learned in a couple of weeks, but when we last left Shmuel, so we're in the middle of Perek Ches, and the people of Bnei Yisrael are just asking Shmuel for a king. We discussed this at length last time, that Shmuel himself was getting old, and he wasn't able to circulate among the Jewish cities in the way that he once did. Shmuel's sons, the Psukim say, did not exactly follow in his ways. Pashup Shad and the Psukim seem to indicate that Shmuel's sons did certain sins. They took bribes and they were corrupt. That's what the simple understanding in the Psukim seems to be. But we learned that Chazal understand that they did not actually sin. The Gemara tells us, Kol HaOmer, Shebnei Shmuel Chatu, Eino, anyone who says that the children of Shmuel sinned, he's only making a mistake. They weren't exactly like him. They didn't do things exactly the way he did. Some of the Mefarshim understand that they didn't travel around in the same way he did. They kind of parked themselves and had Bnei Yisrael come to them. Maybe that was, how they were inconsiderate. But be it as it may, they weren't exactly what Bnei Yisrael was looking for. They were certainly weren't exactly like Shmuel, and therefore Bnei Yisrael came to Shmuel and they said, "Listen, you're getting old. You can't judge the way that you once did. Your sons are not exactly following in your ways. So we'd like you to appoint a king." We learned that Shmuel was very upset by this. He was very upset by this request. And he comes to Hashem and he tells him, exactly what Bnei Yisrael want. Obviously, Kosh Baruch Hu knows, but Shmuel davens. The Mefarshim say he davens for Nevuah. How does he handle this? And Hashem says to Shmuel, "Listen, you have to listen to the people. They're not. There's nothing against you. It's against me. It's me that they're complaining about. And therefore, you have to do what they say, and you have to appoint a king." But, and this is the final pasuk. This was pasuk Yud. But Hashem says, "But you got to warn them about the Mishpat HaMelech. You have to warn them about the law of kings." Now, what's the law of kings? Mefarshim seem to understand here that the law of kings is essentially what kings can do, not what kings are entitled to do according to the Torah, but what kings can do, what they might do to their subjects, to their people. That's one way of understanding it. But Hashem says you got to warn them about the Mishpat HaMelech. Okay, so let's see, and this is where we're picking up here in Pasuk Yud. Bayomer Shmuel es kol divrei Hashem el ha'am. So Shmuel comes back to the people and he tells them everything that Hashem has said. Hasho'alen me'ito melech, the nation which is asking of a king of him. So he comes back to that nation and he tells them exactly what Hashem said. The Malbim says that what Shmuel was saying here was Hashem knows your true intentions, and Hashem knows that you really want. According to some of the Mefarshim, their request was that they wanted a king who was not going to judge in accordance with Torah law. Torah law is too constricting. Torah law is too strict, too stringent. And therefore, they wanted a king that was going to judge them like all the other nations of the world, with a made-up system, with a constitution, with something that people have made up, which is maybe not as stringent as the laws of the Torah. So he says, Hashem knows your true intentions, people, right? Bnei Yisrael, Hashem knows your true intentions. Okay. Now listen to the Mishpat HaMelech. The next several psukim all describe the powers that a king has, the authority that a king has, some of the things that a king can do. Some of the things that a king can do, once he has power. Okay, so let's look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer. So Shmuel again is talking to the people. Vayomer. Ze yihyeh Mishpat HaMelech asher yimloch aleichem. This is what the king is going to do. These are the laws of the king and what the king is going to do when he rules over you. Okay, now before we get to all of the details of what he's about to say, there is a machlokes in the Gemara. Okay, this Gemara appears in Sanhedrin. I believe it's on Daf Chaf Zayin. Chaf Amud Beis. Daf Chaf Amud Beis in Sanhedrin. And there's a machlokes between two Amoraim here, whether the things that are stated in this parsha, which discuss the king in Sefer Shmuel, are these things that a king is really entitled to, Are these powers and these authorities things that a king is really entitled to? Or no, these things are not things that a king is really entitled to. These were just things that Shmuel used to scare the people. And he was telling them essentially that this is what the king might do. Not that he's entitled to do these things. He's not allowed to do these things. But because the power might get to his head, because he might get a little power hungry, he might do these things. And he might abuse his power. So that's a machlokus in the Gemara. Is a king actually allowed to do these things? Or was this just a scare tactic by Shmuel? Now it's interesting that the Rambam paskins that the king is allowed to do these things. He paskins like the Amora, like Shmuel, Kala Amor b'Parshas HaMelech, everything that's stated here in this parsha that talks about the king, Melech Muterbo, the Melech is allowed to do these things.
But maybe it's also warning.
I'm sorry?
Maybe it's also warning that while the king I appoint may not do all these things, in the future, things may sink down and you'll get them done.
Okay.
Like a prophecy.
Right, that could be. That could be. But the Rambam understands.
And being allowed is different than supposed to do.
Okay, I hear you. I mean, generally when it comes to halacha, usually, if it's allowed, then there's no problem with you doing it. But I hear what you're saying. Sometimes there might be a little bit of a nuance there. But anyway, but Shmuel not Shmuel Hanavi, Shmuel the Amora in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So he's of the opinion that a king is allowed to do all these things that it says in this parsha, and the Rambam paskins that way. And the Rambam has a whole slew of halachos in Hilchos Malachim, where he goes through many of the authorities and powers of a king, and he quotes all of these psukim to prove that these are the powers of a king. So let's see some of the things that Shmuel says. Again, not everyone agrees with that. That's a machlokas in Amoraim. But let's see. So again, Pasuk Yidal, Vayomer Zeyeh Mishpat HaMelech Asher Yimloch Aleichem. This is the Mishpat HaMelech. These are the things that a king, the powers of a king. As Bneichem Yikach, he's going to take your sons. What's he going to do with them? Yisamlo B'merkavto U'v'farashav. And he's going to place them at the head of his chariot and his entourage. V'rotzu Lifnei Merkavto. And they're going to run in front of the chariot. Now the Mepharshim say what this means is that they're going to have to run in front of the chariot, says the Malbim, like horses. Meaning they're going to tie the chariot to your sons. It's not just that the sons will run in front, but he's going to take your sons, and he's going to draft them into his army, okay? And he's going to take them, and he's going to tie his chariot to your sons, and that's how he's going to get around. Your sons are going to schlep him around, so he's going to disgrace them, right? So this is, again, these are some of the negative things that might happen. And the Malbim says that, you know, you think, Shmuel's telling the people, Bnei Yisrael, you think this is a good thing to get a king. I'm going to show you that this is not a good thing. I'm going to show you that it's going to be a very bad thing for the following. The Malbim gives about 6 or 7 reasons why this is not a good thing. Like reason number one, he's going to take your sons and give them some sort of a degrading job. Okay. Now the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha based on this pasuk, so he doesn't understand it that the sons are actually tied to the chariot, but the Rambam seems to understand just that he's going to draft your sons into his army. And essentially, they'll just be working for him. They'll just do whatever the king needs, you know, needs done. Okay. Pasigid Beis. Velasumlo sare alofim sare hamishim. He's also going to take some of those boys, and he's going to make them officers. Officers over the thousands, officers over the 50s. Right? Meaning the structure of Bnei Yisrael had different level officers, just like in the times of Yisrael with the judges. So similar here. These aren't judges. These are officers, but similar type of idea. The Lachrosh Harisho, and some of these sons are going to plow the fields for him. The Liktor Ktiro, and they're going to harvest his crops. The Lasos Klei Milchamto Uklei Richbo, and they're going to be craftsmen to make his weapons. They're going to be craftsmen to make his chariots. Someone's got to build these things. So these kids are going to build them, right? So he's going to take these kids, and he's going to put them to work in all sorts of things, according to some of Farshim, run in front of the chariots, but certainly Pashup Shat. He's going to work them. They're going to have to work the land. They're going to be craftsmen. They're going to be, you know, all sorts of jobs. The Malbim says this was also degrading because here he's not appointing them. You know, we're talking about a lot of different types of jobs here. Sari Alofim, Sari Chamishim. That doesn't sound bad. That's talking about an officer. That's better than, you know, let's say plowing the field or harvesting. But he says that it wasn't decided based on merit. It wasn't decided even based on yichus. What was it decided based on? The king's whim. One day the king wakes up and he wants, you go harvest my field, right? You, Chaim, you go plow. The other one, you're going to be an officer today. It's all based on his whim. You know, whatever he feels that day. One day he feels like this, one day he feels like that. It's not based on any system of chashivos, any system of importance or significance. That's not what it's based on. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yespeno Seichem Yikach L'Rakachos. And your daughters, he's going to take for Rakachos. What are Rakachos? So Rakachos, Rashi understands, are women who used to grind things to make spices, to make herbs, and to make perfumes. They would make perfumes out of different herbs and spices and nice smelling things. So these were the women that would grind up these things. Those are the Rakachos. And also Utabachos Ulaofos. And also he would make them, the women who would be maidservants. They would be baking and cooking, working in the kitchen. Now the Rambam understands from this pasuk that it's not just, I think he might be understanding this from the word rakachos. I'm not sure. It's not a Rashi. The Rashi understands rakachos as like making these perfumes. The Rambam says we're talking about pilagshim. We're talking about, having a concubine. We're talking about the king taking these Jewish girls and using them as concubines. And once they're his concubines, then he's also entitled to have them work in the palace. And they're going to work, they're going to bake, and they're going to cook, and they're going to do all the things that need to be done in the palace, right? The boys are going to be outside, schlepping in the sun, and they're going to be with the chariots and working the land. And the girls will be inside. But essentially, he's going to take them, the boys and the girls, for all of his needs, for whatever he needs. Pasuk Yudalet. V'yes edo seichem, v'yes karmeichem, v'zei seichem atovim yikach. V'nasan la'avodav. And the pasuk says, he's going to take your fields, all of your fields and your vineyards and your olive orchards, the good ones, all these good fields. He's going to take them and he's going to give them to his servants. He's going to give them to his servants. Now we'll explain in 1 second. Pasuk Tesvav, Vizareichem b'charmeichem ya'asor, and all of the produce, all of the grapes that you grow, all of the seeds and the other produce that you grow, ya'asor. He'll take a tenth from that produce. V'nasan l'sarisav vila avodav, and he'll give it to his officers and to his servants. Now, what are these two? If you look at Yudal and Tesvav, it seems almost repetitive. Yudal says he's going to take the fields, and Tesvav says he's going to take a tenth of the crops. So the Radak says that pasuk Yudal means all the good fields. He's going to take the entire field. He's going to take the entire good field. And he's going to give it to his servants, right? The Malbim says he's going to give it to his servants to make them rich. The more fields they have, for free especially, right? They can grow produce, they'll sell the produce, they'll become rich from these fields. So those are the good fields. But Pasuk Tesvav, says the Radak, that's talking about the fields that are shvach. They're not so great. They're not going to produce so much. So he's not going to take the whole field and give it to his servants. Sometimes these fields are more work than benefit. But he'll still take the 10% of the crops. Even then, he's going to take 10% of the crops of whatever's left. So the good fields, says the Radak, he's going to take completely. And even the bad fields, which don't produce that much, he's still going to take a 10% and give that to his servants. Now, the Radak also quotes Chazal and understand that he's not actually taking the fields, but he is taking the provisions. He's taking the produce, but it's specifically for his troops. Right, the army's in town and they need something to eat. So they're allowed to go into a field and take whatever they want, essentially. And that's how the Rambam paskens. The Rambam says that whenever there's a war, there's a battle, and the soldiers are traveling and they're going to they're going to battle, and they come upon a place and there's no food. But it's not like today where the army has a mess hall or whatever. There's no food. So they're allowed to take from the people's fields. Now the Rambam says, interestingly, they do have to pay for it. Right, the king does have to reimburse. He does have to pay the farmers. He has to reimburse them for this produce that he's taking. But he's entitled to pay. He's entitled to take it, and that's something also that you see a theme that develops here from some of the mafarshim, is that even some of these things that the king is allowed to take, he does have to pay for, but he has priority. He's allowed to take it over everyone else. Right away, of course, it brought to mind, all of the PPE, the personal protective equipment, and all the hand sanitizer and all these things that were during the height of the pandemic. Now they're a little bit easier to come by. But in the beginning, during the height of the pandemic, it was very hard to get these things. Why? Because whatever was being produced, you know, I remember people telling me that, you know, who were in the field, whatever is being produced and being imported into the country is right away the government's taking it. And the government's sending it to hospitals or sending it to other facilities that need it. So same thing. The government was paying for it, obviously. But they had priority. They had first dibs, so to speak. They had first rights to all of these things. So too, in this case, the king also has first rights. He has the priority to take these things for his soldiers. Pasuk Tes Zayin. V'es avdeichem v'es shivchoseichem v'es bachureichem hatovim. And he can also take your servants. Not just he's going to take your kids. He's going to take your servants and your maid servants, your male servants, female servants, and also your bachureichem hatovim, the good boys, the good strong guys. He's going to take them. He's going to schlep them out. Yes, chamoreichem yikach, v'yosalim alachtam. He's going to take your donkeys, your animals, your livestock. He's going to use it for his malacha. And the Malbim says that the king, he doesn't want to use his own servants and his own maid servants for this work because they're too chashuv. Okay, servant of the king, maid servant of the king, they're too chashuv. They're too important to be doing these menial tasks. So what does he do? He comes to the people and he says, I need your servants. I need your maid servants. I need your slaves. I'll put them to work. And they're going to end up doing the work for the king as well. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Zonchem Yasur. Not only that, but he's going to take a tenth of your livestock, a tenth of your sheep, a tenth of your animals. Ve'atem tiyulo la'avadim. Okay, so let's focus for a minute on the Tzonchem Yasur. So the Malbim says that if you look at the earlier pasuk, the earlier psukim, so it talks about giving things to his servants, right? Pasuk Yudalim and Tesvav. Let's look at pasuk Tesvav. So it says, Zarechem and Karmechem, Yasor, right? You should take a miser, take a tenth of your vineyards and of your grain fields, and give it to your servants. But here, what's it saying? Says the Malbim, when it comes to the animals, that's more expensive. A tenth of the animals, that's a lot of money. That's more expensive. So that he's going to keep for himself. Tenth of the produce he's going to give to his servants. Right? That's not so chashuv. But a tenth of the animals, that's good stuff. That's expensive. That's a lot of money. And therefore, he's going to take it for himself to make himself rich. But not only that, the attempt to yulo la'avodin, that you will be slaves. Now, what does it mean you will be slaves? So here's the machlokas and the mefarshim, how to understand this pasuk. Some understand it literally, that you will be slaves, meaning it's not just enough that your servants will be taken by the king. It's not enough that your maid servants will be taken by the king or that your animals will be taken by the king. It's not even enough that your children, your men, your girls, and your boys will be taken by the king. But you yourselves will be enslaved. You yourselves will be taken by the king to do his service, to do his avoda. Some mefarshim, the Radak, and others understand that this doesn't mean here that they themselves are going to actually be doing the slavery or the servitude for the king. But what it means is that they're going to have to pay taxes. Once you pay taxes, you're not a free person. You're not a free man. You're not a free woman anymore. You're obligated to pay taxes to the government. So therefore, in addition to all of these things happening, says the Radak, the atem tiyu lo la'avadim, you yourselves will be enslaved, quote unquote, right? Figuratively enslaved to the point where you're going to have to pay taxes. And that's how the Rambam quotes this. The Rambam, when he quotes this pasuk, understands that it's referring to taxes, that a king has the right to levy taxes upon the people, and they have an obligation to pay those taxes. Pasuk Yud Ches. Uza'aktem bayom hahu milifnei malkechem asher bachartem lochem. Says the pasuk, and now you're going to cry out. You're going to cry out on that day because of this king that you chose. Velo yane Hashem eschem bayom hahu. But Hashem will not answer you on that day. Hashem will not answer you. Now, most of the Mefarshim, the Mitzvah Stavon, and the Malbim seem to understand that you're going to cry out to Hashem. Why are you going to cry out to Hashem, says the Malbim? You have no choice, because the king is going to be totally in control over you. The king is ruling over you with his servants. He's ruling over you with his troops. He's ruling over you completely. right? So you have no recourse. You have no recourse but to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to cry out to him and to say, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me from this oppressive king. And yet, what does the Pasuk say at the end? Lo yana Hashem eschem bayom hahu. Hashem will not listen to you. He's not going to pay any attention to you on that day. Why? That's what the Mevarshim say. Because you made a choice. That's why the Pasuk says, Asher bachartem lochem. You made the choice. As they say, you made the bed, now sleep in it. Right? You made this choice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I didn't tell you you have to have a king. You came and you wanted a king. You wanted a king appointed over you. So if you're coming to me and you want a king, so deal with it. Don't come to me crying now. Not only that, but the Mitzvah Stavit says, Hashem says, I'm warning you now. That's why he sent Shmuel here, to warn the people. This is what a king can do. This is how a king can abuse his powers. And again, right, we said it's a machlokas. Is he allowed to or not allowed to? But this is how a king can abuse his powers. This is how a king's authority can rule over you. So don't come complaining to me later when it's uncomfortable, when it's oppressive, when you don't like it. You decided this. Asher bachartem lochem. You chose it. So if you chose it, you got to live with it. You got to live with it. And Hashem's not going to come and answer you. Okay, so all these psukim, Yud Aleph through Yud Ches, these eight psukim, these are all the warning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shmuel. You have to warn the people that this is what can happen when you want a king. This is what can happen when you elect a king, when you choose a king. Okay, now what happens at the end of the parak here is interesting, and not everyone agrees. Not all the mafarshim agree as to what exactly is happening here, but it's fascinating. Pasuk Yutes. And the people refused to listen to the voice of Shmuel. And they said, no. We want a king. We want a king. Now, I'll explain these psukim according to the Mitzudas David, who has one approach. And then I'll explain them again according to the Malbim and the Alshech. They have a little bit of a different approach, you know, how to understand these psukim. So the Mitzudas David said, he explains that Shmuel made it very clear what he thought here. He was telling them all of the abuses of power that a king might have. And he was telling them, I think this is a bad idea. I don't think this is a good idea for you. You're making a mistake. Don't do it. Don't do it. And what do the people say? That's why it says B'kol Shmuel. Because it wasn't just a message from Hashem, this is what the king can do, X, Y, and Z. Shmuel made it clear what he felt. He made it clear what his opinion was. They refused to listen. They refused to listen to him. And they said, we don't care. We don't care. We're not listening to you. We want a king anyway. Right? Lo. Ki'im melech yihyeh aleinu. We want a king anyway. Pasuk Chaf. V'hayinu gam anachnu kechol hagoyim. We're going to be like all the other nations. And again, this is what some say. This was their problem. They started to say, we're going to be like all the other nations. Right? V'hayinu gam anachnu kechol hagoyim. We're going to be like all the other nations. Ushvatanu malkeinu. And our king will judge us. V'yatza lefaneinu. And he's going to go out. He's going to lead us. He's going to lead us in front. V'nilcham es melcham otheinu. And he's going to lead us into battle and fight our wars. So, you know, they're getting all excited and poetic with this argument to Shmuel. It says in Mitzudas David, what were they saying here? They essentially were saying, we know the king may take advantage of us. We understand that. Right? We know. You give a king power, he might abuse that power. But it's going to be kechol hagoyim. Everyone's in the same boat. Everyone has a king. All nations in the world have a king. And all nations of the world, sometimes the kings abuse those powers. So that's what they all do. So we're not going to be any worse off than all the other nations of the world. And if it's working for them, then it can work for us also. That's how the Mitzvah Stavit understands their argument back to Shmuel. We get it. We know what can happen. But we're willing to accept that risk because that's just what happens. That comes with the territory. But with the bad comes a lot of good because he's going to help judge us. He's going to fight our wars. So they said, we see the cons, but we're weighing the pros and the cons, and we think the pros outweigh the cons. We think that the benefits here outweigh the detriments. We think this is still a good idea, even though some of the dangers that you told us about, that you're warning us about, true, we agree that those are dangers and those things might happen. But we want it nevertheless. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayishma Shmuel es kol divrei ha'am. So Shmuel hears what the people are saying. And he speaks these words into the ears of Hashem. Now, what does that mean? So the Radak says, Hashem understood. Hashem knew himself what the people were saying. He doesn't need Shmuel to communicate the people's message. But the Radak says that Shmuel turns to Hashem to daven. And he says, listen, Hashem, I know that this is a bad idea, and I know that this is a bad idea. And I'm trying to convince them, but they're not listening to me. So what should I do? He's turning to Hashem for guidance. He's asking Hashem for guidance. What should I do? This is what the people are saying. Well, how should I approach it? What should I do? And what is Hashem saying? Again, we're going to come back to read these psukim according to the other mefarshim. They have a different understanding. Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, Shma b'kolo. So Hashem says to Shmuel, at the end of the day, you have to listen to them. Vihimlachta lahem melech, and appoint a king over them. Vayomer Shmuel, so Shmuel says, okay, fine. If that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Vayomer Shmuel l'anshei Yisrael, l'chu ish l'iro. Everyone, go back to your city, and as the Mefarshim say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I need guidance from Hashem, obviously, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to appoint a king. And according to this approach, the Perek ends a little bit on a real down note, a real downer here, that Shmuel spends 8 psukim warning the people of all the terrible things that can happen, all the abuses of power that a king might do. And he's really, it sounds like, Kol Shmuel, he's really putting his kishkas into this to try to convince them. Vayimanuham, they're not interested in listening. The Shmuel b'kol Shmuel. They're not interested in listening to Shmuel. So Shmuel kind of like throws his hands up to Hashem and says, what should I do? And Hashem says, oh, you got to listen. If that's what they want, you got to give them a king. If that's what they want, you got to give them a king. And that's one approach, how to understand these four or so psukim at the end of the parak. But the Malbim and the Alshich both understand these psukim in a little bit of a different way. And they both say that the people actually reply to Shmuel, they come back, and they justify their claim, they justify their request. And they argue with Shmuel's points. So says the Alshich, they come to Shmuel and say, Shmuel, why are you so upset? If you're upset that we should have just left everything up to Hashem, right? And maybe we focus too much on you. Maybe we focus too much on you. We're focusing on you, that you should appoint a king for us. If that's why you're upset, that we really should focus more on Hashem, you're right. We made a mistake, right? We apologize, and we're changing our request. We're not saying that you should appoint a king over us. There should be a king over us. Who's going to do it? Obviously, Hashem's going to appoint that king. But there should be a king. According to the Alshich, they're being a little sensitive here, and they think that maybe Shmuel's upset because we focused on him. And it has to come from above. It has to come from Hashem. It has to be divine. So you're right. We apologize. Forgive us. Ki'im melech yihyeh aleinu. There will be a king upon us. Right? Who's going to appoint it? Hashem will appoint the king. The Malbim says that what the people were arguing with here was that they said, they came to Shmuel and they said, Shmuel, all these things that you're worried about, all these abuses of power, that's only with a Moshel, not with a Melech. What's the difference between a Moshel and a Melech? A Moshel is a ruler that takes charge by force. He forces his way to the top. He takes charge by force. That's a Moshel. A Moshel can abuse its power 100%. But a Melech, who's elected by the people, who's selected by the people, that Melech, he's not going to abuse his power. He's going to be subservient to us. He's going to be subservient to the laws of the Torah and to what we as the people want. And that's why he says, Vayimanu ha'am l'shmuel b'kol Shmuel, they didn't listen to Shmuel because they didn't agree with him. They didn't think that all these dangers were going to happen. Vayomru lo, and they said, nah, these things aren't going to happen. Ki melech yihyeh aleinu. We're not going to have a Moshel. We're not going to have a ruler who comes into power by force and forces his way with us. No. We're going to have a melech. Aleinu. We're going to appoint a melech. We're going to select a melech. The melech will be subservient to us. That's how they're coming and arguing with Shmuel. Pasuk Chaf. So now the Alshech again says, you know, why are you upset, Shmuel? The people are coming to him. Why are you upset? If you're upset that we asked him to judge us like all the other nations, you're right. We shouldn't have said it like that. We rescind that also. He should judge us according to the laws of the Torah. Bishavtenu, Ushvatenu, I'm sorry, Malkenu. He's going to judge us according to the laws of the Torah, 100%. How are we going to be like all the other nations? Not in terms of the judgment. Because all the other nations, the king judges them based on a constitution, a made-up set of laws. Our king is going to judge us based on the laws of the Torah. How will we be like all the other nations? Only the Yotze Lefaneinu V'Neil Chames Melcham Oseinu. Only militarily. Only in a sense where he's going to be the commander-in-chief. So regarding that, that'll be like everybody else. But otherwise, you're right. And if we said it the wrong way, the people apologize. We're sorry. Right? We rescind our language, strike it from the record. We don't want him to judge us according to some made-up laws. We want him to judge us according to the laws of the Torah. Also, says the Alshech, understanding the claim of the people, you know, you're exaggerating a little bit all of these dangers and the detriments of having a king. Every nation has a king. This is what they do. And he makes an unbelievable point psychologically. And says the Alshech, when everybody's going through it, it doesn't seem so bad. You're able to manage. If you're the only one, it's hard. But if you're the only one going through a tzara, it's very difficult. But if everyone's going through the tzara together, right? We're all in this together. Everyone's going through it together, so you roll with it. You ride the waves like everybody else. So says the Alshech, the people are saying, oh, you're exaggerating these abuses of power. And even if he does abuse his power a little bit, that's what kings do. That's what everybody does. So we'll deal with it like everybody else deals with it. We'll be fine. Plus, they say we're going to gain. What are we going to gain? Ushvatenu malkeinu. They say, according to the Alshech, you know, there's a difference when a king judges and when a judge judges. If a shofet judges, so he might issue a psak, but he can't enforce the psak. He can't enforce people to listen to the psak. He can tell us, you know, he can tell the people what he thinks, but he can't enforce. He's like a rabbi, right? A rabbi issues a psak halacha. He can say what he wants, but he can't enforce it. It's up to the people whether they're going to listen to the rabbi or not. But they say when it comes to a king, you don't mess with a king. When it comes to a king, he's going to judge us according to the laws of the Torah, and he can also enforce it. He can also tell people they got to listen to it. They have no choice. And if they don't, they're going to be punished. So that's a milah, that's a benefit of having a king as a judge as opposed to a regular shofet. And also, if you think, says the Alshech, that we're relying on him too much in battle, so we're telling you, we're admitting, v'nilchames melcham oseinu, he's only fighting for us. The ultimate Yeshua, that comes from above, that comes from Hashem. So we admit, it's not just the king. It's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's fighting. V'nilchames melcham oseinu, he's the one fighting for us. But really, it's the one above, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu above, who's really running the show. According to the Alshech, the people are justifying their request by tweaking things, doing tshuva. Now, Shmuel, you came to us with the following 8 tainas. You had some 8 claims, things that were wrong with our request. We're going to change those things. You're right. We weren't sensitive enough to this. We're going to change the language here. You know, it's not you that's appointing, it's Hashem that's appointing. He's just leading us into battle. The Yeshua comes from Hashem. Right, he's going to judge us according to the laws of the Torah, etc. They're making changes in their argument, in their request, in order to pacify Shmuel. The the Malbim also says that part of their reply here, according to the Malbim, when they say we're going to be like all the other nations, right, as the pasuk says, "V'hayinu gam anachnu kechol hagoyim," in what sense? He says, in the sense just that we'll have a king, just like everybody else has a king, so we're going to have a king also. But the people say, like similar to the Alshech, but it's going to be different. Number one, he's going to judge us according to the laws of the Torah and not according to some made-up laws. And number two, v'nilchames melcham oseinu. It'll be our battles and our wars. What's the significance of that? Says the Malbim, because a king who's really power-hungry, a king who really is abusing his power, whose wars is he fighting? He's fighting his own wars. He's fighting wars to amass more land, to amass more wealth, to amass more popularity and fame. That's why he's fighting wars. He wants to conquer the world. That's for him. But say the people know, v'nilchames melcham oseinu. He's going to fight our wars because a proper king focuses on the people, focuses on the needs of the people at home, focuses on the needs of the people at war against their enemies, that's what he's going to be focused on. He's not going to be abusing power and focusing on his own wealth and his own kingdom. He's going to be using his power for us, v'nilcham es melchamo say. And then finally, according to the Radak we learned, Shmuel was throwing up his hands and said, listen, I don't know, I don't get it. The people aren't listening to me. Hashem, what should I do? Says the Alshich, it says no. Shmuel began to hear them. Shmuel began to understand what they were saying. He began to say, you know what? There might be something to what Bnei Yisrael are asking for. There might be some merit to it. And he went back to Hashem, Vayedabrim Be'ozne Hashem. He went back to Hashem to be Melamed Zchus, to justify the people. He was coming to Hashem to go on the side, to be on their side, on the same side as the people, to justify their claims, their tainos. And especially, says the Malbim, when Shmuel heard about the wars, because he said, you know what? A shofet is not really fit to lead a nation into battle. Some of the shoftim, we learned, were also warriors and were also generals. But Shmuel, he's not a general, he's not a warrior. Shmuel is a shofet, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a Navi. It's a different field, it's a different malacha. And therefore, says the Malbim, especially once Shmuel heard this, Shmuel heard about the fact that the one of the real reasons why they wanted this king was to lead them into battle, something that he was not capable of doing. So he was at peace with the idea. And he went to Hashem, again like the Alshich, he went to Hashem to justify their claims, to justify their request. Ayomer Hashem el Shmuel, the final pasuk. Shema b'kolam. Shmuel says, okay, I'm sorry, Hashem says, listen to them. Himlachta aleihem melech. So the Alshich says, Hashem says, I already appointed someone. I already have someone in mind. Himlachta aleihem melech. Someone who's already a king. How can he be already a king? Hashem already decided. Hashem already appointed him. But he told Shmuel, go tell them to go home, and Hashem, I will reveal who this king is going to be. Says the Malbim, slightly differently, but it says Hashem has to select the king. Pasuk says in Sefer Dvarim that Hashem has to select the king. So Shmuel says to the people, L'chu ish le'iro. You can have a king, you can get a king. But go and listen and wait for Hashem to see who he selects and what he does. So again, at the end here, there seems to be machlokas among the mefarshim. You know, is this at the end? Are we ending on a real downer? That Shmuel kind of throws up his hands and says he's frustrated. He's trying to discourage the people, but they're just not listening. And Hashem says, listen, if they're not going to listen, you got to do what they want and give them a king, even though you and I are not happy about it. That's one way of understanding these psukim. But according to the Malbim and the Alshich, it's different. No, Shmuel began to hear their claims. Shmuel began to say, you know what? It's not so crazy what they're asking for. And he comes to Hashem, and Hashem agrees. And Hashem says, okay, listen, if they have the right attitude, if they have the right approach, so then that's fine. Now, just to conclude, the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, in this Perek Dalet, where he goes through many of the halachos that he learns from these psukim, the Rambam says at the end something crucially important, and he writes, V'chol yihyu ma'asov l'shem shamayim. Whatever the king is doing, all of these things that he's entitled to, all of these powers and authorities that he's entitled to, as we learned in the psukim, as the Rambam delineates in Perek Dalet, he says, but everything has to be l'shem shamayim. The king cannot be doing it for his own gain, for his own wealth, for his own fame. He has to be doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Etiye megamaso umachshavto, his entire approach and philosophy must be leharim das ha'emes, to exalt the true religion, to exalt Judaism, to put Judaism on a pedestal, to put the Torah on a pedestal, ulamalos ha'olam tzedek, and to fill the world with justice and righteousness, v'lishvor zeroa harashayim, and to crush the hand of the wicked, ulahilochem milchamos Hashem, and to fight the battles of Hashem, not his own battles, the battles of Hashem. He says that's the role of a Jewish king. A Jewish king does have a lot of power. A Jewish king does have a lot of authority, as we see in this parak. But the ultimate goal of a Jewish king is to fight Hashem's wars, is to fight Hashem's battles, and to make sure that the Torah is ultimately recognized as the final word, as the final authority. And he says that's what we see in the pasuk that we read in pasuk Chaf. That's what it's all about. That's the dual role of a king. number one, to judge the people, but to judge the people in a positive way, and to increase justice and righteousness according to the Torah into Jewish society. And finally, to fight the battles, but the battles of not just the people that want to kill the Jews, of course, but the Rishayim, to get rid of the Rishayim, to get rid of the wicked. That's the ultimate. And I think it's such a crucially important perspective, because as the Rambam says, we are learning about a lot of power, a lot of authority that this king has, but it's not to be abused. It's not for himself. It's not to be selfish, chas v'shalom. It's to be focused on Klal Yisrael, to be focused on the Ribono Shel Olam. And of course, we, who are not malachim, but any power and authority that we have or any things that we do have to be totally focused on these two goals as well. Number one, to increase the Kavod Shemayim. And number two, to make sure that the wicked don't have a good foothold in this world. And make sure that the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are ultimately on the pedestal. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.